Anna.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm fine.
Glad to hear it. You're the first to arrive, just for your
Okay.
information.
All righty. Gabriella.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We're going to wait about another minute, then we'll start.
Okay, we've got enough, so I'm going to mute.
Okay.
Muting.
Good afternoon. Please join me in saying the Anabato. Anabato Gedulachemin Ha Tati Serura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha sagbenu aharenu nora ufreshayan simtet nun na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem nun gimel dalet yud kafshin Barhem Taharem Rachame Sitkatha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Aditaf Gimel Basin Kadosh Berov Tuka Nael Adata Et Kuf Bet Det Benayan Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Be'zayin Tu Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Sadi Yud Tav. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoach, we say in a whisper. Our handout today is available on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. In the fifth row, the left-hand column, when you get to the matrix and you go to the fifth row in the left-hand column, you open up a landing page for the basic class 5. When that landing page opens up, scroll down to the handouts at the bottom. The class 5 handouts, Binding by Striking, is the last handout for today. You should know that there will be between 3 and 4 classes utilizing these handouts. Why so many? Because binding by striking is the most effective tool taught in the Kabbalah to help you change and to become closer to Hashem. We will start with the L'shem Yehud, which should give you all time to get to the handout. L'shem Yehud, Kucha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bidhilu, Urhimu, Udhilu, Udhilu, Urhimu. Le'akta, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavavhe, V'yichuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, V'ayhino Am Adonai Eloheinu, binding by striking is the strongest individual tool that Kabbalah teaches. To understand this tool will take a bit of time to explain. The tool itself is very simple. It has only 4 steps to accomplish. It is not easy to do these steps. These steps will bring you face to face with yourself. These steps will cause you to question many of the basic principles of who you are. Let me repeat this. It is simple to do. It is not easy to do. It is a tool that takes a lifetime of practice. This is because there is no cookie cutter approach. You must learn to use the tool properly. And when used properly, everything becomes clear. Using it as a cookie cutter approach will not allow you to utilize it properly. The goal of this tool is to teach your body to do this first step automatically. That's among the reasons why it takes a lifetime of practice. Astrology, modern physics, religion, one God mindset. All monotheistic religions have great difficulty with astrology, especially Hebrew astrology, because it works. When one knows there is one creator, one God, one Hashem, one other name that you will use to call or speak about God, then Hebrew astrology does not present a problem. When one is practicing a religion, one finds Hebrew astrology very disconcerting. This is because religion teaches you to be a good person, to be a better person today than you were yesterday, to receive pain, suffering, and punishments when you do not do what the one creator tells you to do, at least according to the one man or the group of men who determine what that is. Now along comes Hebrew astrology, which teaches that whether you do a good thing or not, your future is known, and there is no truly good reason to become a better person today than you were yesterday. Chas v'shalom. God forbid. In other words, this is the age-old philosopher's question. Do I have free will, or is everything already known and preordained? That is why for 2,000 years, the rabbis, the priests, and the holy men have written that astrology is bunk and do not waste your time. In the religion of Judaism, of which I am not a participant prior to this, the sages wrote many things about the science of astrology and used it in their daily lives and prayers. Kabbalah teaches us this tool of binding by striking that gives us access to a mechanism that allows us to balance these two mutually exclusive issues. If everything is known, it does not matter what I do. If I am good, then I will have a good life. Yet when we look at the world, this does not seem to hold true. Binding by striking will reconcile these issues and explain to you how to remove chaos from your life and how to utilize the science of Hebrew astrology to get to where we need to go to have a chaos-free life. Remember, the physical world is created as an illusion. Remember the boomerang law. What goes around comes around. Remember, removing bread of shame is the purpose of life. Since this world is an illusion, I am unable to see how I am truly behaving. How am I impacting other people? I am unable to see that which when I walk down the street with a smile on my face. I actually stopped someone from committing suicide today. While yesterday I walked down the street with a frown and caused someone to rob a bank, thinking it was the only way to feed his crying children. What do you think of the above paragraphs? Tikkun. Many people have heard of something called Tikkun Olam. It is usually taught that this term refers to doing good deeds that fix the world. This is a corruption of the real process of tikkun, and is actually a waste of time and energy. Essentially, this is a tool of Satan that lengthens the process of the world. Let us understand what is meant by tikkun, tikkun olam, gemar tikkun, and the tikkun process. These are Kabbalistic terms using the language of branches. I have explained that Kabbalah uses terms in a very exact manner, similar to a mathematical formula. Our everyday words like energy or essence can cause us to become confused. The Hebrew word tikkun means to correct. When this tool of binding by striking, or with this tool of binding by striking, we are going to learn how to correct ourselves. This means change any unwanted character or personality traits. Changing an unwanted character or an unwanted personality trait is another way of describing spiritual growth. The tikkun process. Each person is to correct different aspects of his or her life. This correction process is called tikkun. A person who fails to make a correction and restrict when the opportunity appears. Will then be forced to repeat a similar circumstance later on in his life. occur 1 week later, 1 month later, even 25 years later, or even in the next lifetime. This is the root cause behind the reoccurrence of problems that continue to repeat themselves throughout our lives. For example, some people go through 5 marriages because they have failed to make the proper binding by striking. And we will explain binding by striking below. Whenever a certain problem arose, in each of those 5 marriages, the same situation would recur. And each time the person experienced that situation, their decisions were incorrect. And for whatever reason, they chose to divorce that woman or that man. The point is, they did not change. They did not grow spiritually. Other people continue to make money, and then they lose this money throughout their lives. They make the same mistake over and over again. They make money, they lose the money, then they make it again. They lose it again, and then they make it a third time. They finally lose it, but depending on when they die, they will be either in a wealthy state or a poor state. When they die is so that their heirs, their children, will receive the money that they earned in this latest cycle. And their children will repeat that pattern. Unless, of course, they learn to use binding by striking. And then they will not have to lose the money. Other people continue to fight with their families over the same problems. No matter how hard they try, the same problem resurfaces, causing infighting, jealousy, and animosity. Scientists or psychologists have given that the term sibling rivalry. Sibling rivalry is not just between brothers and sisters. It's also between aunts and uncles, and between cousins. Sibling rivalry exists and is a purpose, which we will discuss in time. Continuing to read. The problem may be disguised sometimes, but the underlying cause is always the same. Just when this problem seems to be fixed, it pops up again. Once again, many times. Instead of facing the problems, we run away from them, hoping they will go away. Sometimes we run away to a different city, a different location, a different house in the same city. This change of location is thought to solve the problem. Sometimes we just suppress the problem. We ignore it. We experience life, and we think we're growing, we're moving on. But it's not solving the problem unless you utilize binding by striking. Because we fail to deal with and correct the problem, we must face them once again in the future. The reason for this continuous cycle and repeating negative pattern is because we have not corrected, we have not made our tikkun. We simply gave in to our desire to receive for less pain, for less suffering. Number one, we had a desire to lose our temper, and then we did. Number two, we allowed someone or some situation to control our feelings. Number three, we allowed someone or some situation to make us angry and frustrated. All of these are examples of giving up control to something else. Many times in life, we experience something that we cannot control. We cannot control the situation. Yet we can always control how we respond to the situation. This is a hint as to what binding by striking is all about. The above problems will continue to appear until we finally control our response to that similar situation, to that specific situation. What happens to those people who never make a restriction, a binding by striking, concerning a specific problem in their whole life, from birth to death? They are then forced to cope with that same problem again and again throughout their life, and after they die, will reincarnate to be presented with that same situation, to strive to control that response once again. Their lives begin to look like a broken record, repeating the same tune over and over again. What happens when a person doesn't complete his tikkun, his correction, before he dies? The answer is found inside ancient Jewish Kabbalistic teachings. A person who didn't complete a correction in his or her life is brought back again into a new life to make that same correction. What will change? The person will wear different clothes. The person will have different family members. The person will be presented with exactly the same situation in that new life. But the way they perceive that same situation, because they don't remember what they did last time, they perceive the things as brand new and never before seen, when in truth, it is the same situation. The places, the names, the surroundings may be different, but the specific correction is always the same. The same conflict, the same drama remains the same. Only the cast and scene are different. In fact, you might get divorced from someone and find that you did not correct the issue between you and them and have to reincarnate and marry that same soul in a different body once again. And this process is called Gilgul, metempsychosis, or reincarnation. It is also referred to as a tikkun process or a correction process. Most Jews are simply unaware of this, in spite of the fact that the greatest Jewish sages revealed to us that reincarnation or the tikkun process, is an integral part of Judaism. It's an integral part of every world religion. It's an integral part of spiritual growth. This process involves multiple cycles of life for an individual soul in order that he or she may make the appropriate tikkun or correction as specified by his spiritual DNA. For example, in a past incarnation, on November 24th, a man lost a lot of money in a business deal. He became distraught. His behavior became abusive towards his wife and children. All he cared for was the money. He did not appreciate that he was given a healthy and loving family. In essence, he did not perform binding by striking. He did not resist his greedy urges and desires. On the same date of November 24th, in a new incarnation, this man will face the same circumstances once again. It may be in a different city. It may be in a different line of business, with a different family, or it might be the same set of souls. Just realize that the soul of the man is the same. He will be confronted with the same set of circumstances, giving him a new opportunity to perform an action in order to correct this behavior, in order to grow spiritually. According to Kabbalah, the blueprint of our metaphysical DNA contains the results of our behavior. We carry these results with us throughout our lives and from lifetime to lifetime. If we do not make a correction, we must encounter the same situation once again. Or if we have not yet encountered all of our binding by striking opportunities, we must then return again in another life to face these situations. Another term we will use in our classes for our metaphysical DNA is a cassette. As in a movie video cassette. On the cassette tape, we have all the information that will make our lives based on our prior behavior concerning binding by striking and tikkun. With every human soul has completed his or her tikkun, we have reached what is called Gemar Tikkun, or the total tikkun. This is the meaning of the coming of Mashiach, the ingathering of the exiles, the resurrection of the dead, the building of the third temple, the removal of chaos, and the end of war. The life of the world will become serene and peaceful, and everyone who wants to live will live 1,000 years. Parallel universe, the multiplex cinema. Modern physics has a theory of time that relates to parallel universes. Whenever a decision nexus appears in the timeline, there is a branch and a duplication of the universe at that moment. This is consistent with the discussion we had in week 2 about the idea that creation is renewed every instant. It is possible that this theory and the Kabbalah are speaking of the same thing using different vocabulary. It also allows for the idea that in each parallel universe, a person's mind might be receiving a different memory, which then becomes the history of that universe. The Kabbalah teaches that each individual has a cassette with their entire life already recorded on it. just as a video cassette has a complete movie contained inside of it from the beginning to the end. Our life cassette has our entire life pre-programmed on them. Our lives are like a movie on a video cassette. The purpose of each life cassette is to give a person the opportunity to use his free will at each moment to use the tool of binding by striking or not. And this is the essence of free will. This is the only item of free will that we have to employ. We can use the tool of binding by striking or not. Every other feeling of our making a choice in our lives, whether it is the person we marry, the jobs that we prepare for and choose, or the number of children that we have, all is known beforehand. It is just the movie being played out in a multiplex cinema. This movie of our life is seen by us as we are the only person sitting in the theater. There are billions of these movie rooms. Each one is playing our life movies. However, there is a difference from one movie room to the next. That difference is the amount of chaos in our life. One room has us living in a Holocaust, while another has us living the life of Bill Gates or President Obama. Another has us living in Nebraska on a farm, while another has us living on the moon. Another has us living as a person in a civilization under the sea, while another has us living as an amoeba on Alpha Centauri, planet number one. One movie has us living in San Antonio, married to a Southern Baptist. Another has us living in Sacramento, marrying one person. And another movie has us marrying a third person. All of the potential lives that we could ever live is available in one movie room or another. Whenever we exercise the tool of binding by striking, we move to a different movie room with less chaos. Whenever we are in a movie that has us using the tool and we don't, we move to a movie room with more chaos. This is our opportunity to utilize free will and to remove the bread of shame. Whenever we are living in a movie and we don't use free will, we don't use binding by striking, the movie plays on. Do we become more chaotic in our lives? Sometimes. Sometimes we don't. But the essence is, if you don't use free will, you have no spiritual growth. You have no removal of bread of shame. Whenever we exercise the tool of binding by striking, we move to a different movie room with less chaos. Whenever we are in a movie that has us using the tool and we don't, we move to a movie room with more chaos. This is our opportunity to use free will and to remove bread of shame. Inside of our cassettes are certain challenges and situations that we must confront. The purpose of these situations is to create an opportunity for us as individuals to use our free will to choose binding by striking. Explained on a simple level, every time we choose positively and use our tool of binding by striking, we make a quantum shift into a new cassette that contains a better program and a more fulfilling, happier life. let us explore modern physics in more detail. Quantum physics seems to indicate that an infinite number of parallel universes exist alongside our own universe right now. Each universe contains a different you, responding differently to the minute-by-minute situations that confront us in life. This is according to modern-day science, but it's also according to biblical mysticism. They just use different vocabulary. The Zohar revealed the same concept 2,000 years ago. The Kabbalah teaches us that there are an infinite number of parallel cassettes, or universes, playing out our life right now as we read this. However, our consciousness and limited five senses are only aware of one universe at a time. Our consciousness can only focus and tune into one universe at a time. Each cassette reveals a different set of circumstances and situations in our lives. All potential results and destinies exist for each individual. They are simply programmed on a different cassette universe. Each one of the infinite number of cassettes holds a progressively better and more fulfilling destiny. Imagine a multiplex cinema and a movie house with 16 theaters. There are different movies playing in each theater. Our free will can determine which movie we want to experience. However, the movie itself is already predetermined. When we employ the tool of binding by striking, we are choosing a better movie. Every time we employ the tool, we shift to an alternate universe. And every time we don't employ the tool, we stay in that same life. The act of using the tool is like a gear shift in a hyperdimensional time machine. Every time we activate this power tool of binding by striking, we are shifting gears and crossing over into another universe. Every person has his or her own library of cassettes. They are infinite in number. Cassettes contain the contents of your entire life. Each cassette has a progressively better and more fulfilling life. You decide which movie by deciding when you use the tool. The rest of the moments of your life, the movie is playing out as the director, the producer, the writer has indicated and produced the movie. And as you watch the movie to see what happens, even while the writer and the director and the producer already know what will happen on that movie screen, you don't. This is part of the illusion of the physical world. Here is how the tool works in word descriptions. A desire to receive appears in our mind. It is a craving, a powerful urge. These are the most crucial moments in our lives, and they can happen to us every day. We have two choices. We are choosing between two possible futures. One future keeps us imprisoned in this same cassette, the same movie. And this happens when we do not activate the power tool. However, when we do activate the power tool, we choose an alternate future. This other future offers us a better movie, a better cassette. We advance forward towards our personal Gemar Tikkun, our personal total correction. Punishment and reward, or cause and effect. punishment and reward is a dangerous corruption of religion. Most people believe that God is a holy being in heaven who punishes and rewards. However, we can now understand that this is totally absurd. For it is we, the individual, the mankind in total, as individuals and as a collective whole, determine which possible movie will unfold for us. If we activate that power tool, then the light is revealed, just as a light bulb reveals light when there is resistance within the bulb. I'm not going to spend the time to explain electricity. I hope you will understand that when the switch is off and there is a light bulb, you look at the light bulb, you see three distinct components: a positive pole, a negative pole, and a resistor. When the light is switched on, the light conceals the three components because the light unifies the three components and they become one. Revealing light means shifting into a better universe. By revealing unity, the better universe is where you are now living. But you didn't notice the change. Doesn't mean it's not true. All possibilities exist. Good, bad, terrible, wonderful, and everything in between. It is we who choose the scripts and not the creator. What the creator does is balance the various individual movies so that there appears to be continuity of consciousness and memory of our history. Remember the belief that history is written by the winner? History is written by the creator, balancing my desire to receive movie with your desire to receive movie. The great sages from the Talmud teach us that nothing bad can come from above, from the infinite sharing light of the Creator. We must understand that if the light is infinite goodness, then bad and evil cannot come from this realm. It simply doesn't exist in the infinite light. In reality, evil simply means a blockage of light. If we block out the sun by putting on a blindfold or covering the windows in a room, is the sun still there? Is the sun still not trying to share light with us? We cause the darkness to help us try and understand this complex answer at this early stage of our learning. We are using simple examples and metaphors. Here is another. In order to remove darkness in a room, there must be a filament, a resistor in a light bulb, in order to create a circuit. This was revealed by Thomas Edison. He spent thousands of hours developing that resistor filament until he got it right. There was no light bulb, just glass bulbs that he could use as target practice. Through this process, Thomas Edison learned the rules of electricity. When plus and minus connect directly, the bulb short circuits, leaving darkness. When a filament or a resistor separates the plus from the negative, the bulb begins to burn bright. Resistance causes the light to go on. In order to remove darkness and evil from our lives, there must also be resistance in order to reveal the light. Binding by striking is the resistor in our lives. Whenever you read resistance or resistor in this handout, substitute binding by striking. They are the same thing. We must create a circuit of energy within ourselves. And we can only do this when we resist our desires in order to control them. We can now understand that punishment means a blockage of light. Reward means revelation of light. In both circumstances, we are the ones who decide. You are the cause of your own pain. You are the cause of your own pleasure. What causes pain? Not using the power tool of binding by striking. What causes pleasure? Using the power tool of binding by striking. In actuality, there is no pain, there is no pleasure, there is no reward, there is no punishment. There is just a movie being played on the movie screen of your life. Here is another analogy to help clarify this concept. Consider electricity in the walls of a hospital. If we choose to plug in a medical machine that helps us save someone's life, we consider the electricity to be good. If we put our finger inside an electrical socket and receive a jolting shock, we consider the electricity to be bad. However, did the nature of the electricity ever change? No. Can we say the electricity rewarded us or punished us? Not really. It is just there. Another example, there's a glass. It's an 8-ounce glass, and it has 4 ounces of water. Is it half full, or is it half empty? Or is it just 4 ounces of water? And let me fully express it. Is it 4 ounces of water in an 8-ounce glass? Kabbalah teaches us that Hashem is infinite, endless energy. The Zohar and the Torah teach us how to connect to this energy. If we put our finger into the socket, we get burned, we get a shock. Or if we do not reveal this energy, we remain in darkness. We decide. That is free will. This is how we remove bread of shame. Good and bad. This same concept about punishment and reward holds true for the concepts of good and bad. We call bad things evil. Evil is defined in Kabbalah as the desire to receive for oneself alone. Good is defined as the desire to receive in order to share. When we use the power tool of binding by striking, we transform evil into good, darkness into light. Bad is a short circuit where there is no light. When we let our desires control us, we receive pain. When we push back on our desires, we receive pleasure. Neither pain nor pleasure is real. Binding by striking assists us in spiritual growth. We've come to the end of this class. We will start next week at this same location, titled The Torah and the Tikkun Process. While you're unmuting your phones to ask questions, I hope, I will be saying to you that there are two more classes today. One is at 4:30 West Coast time, which is a deep Zohar class. And one is at 7 o'clock, which is the writings of the Ari and the other sages. I remind you that our Rosh Chodesh event will be taking place this coming Motzei Shabbat, the 23rd of May. Does anyone have any questions? You do have homework this week. You do have homework every week. Whether you do the homework or not is up to you. That's the relationship of binding by striking to spiritual growth. Your homework is to experience situations in your life and bring those situations back to the class and share what you did in those situations. Did you feel pressured to do more work? What did you do? Did you feel hungry, but there wasn't enough food at that moment? What did you do? Did you have an argument with your spouse? Did you have an argument with your children? What did you do? Bring those events in your life to share with others so that you can learn in the process of that sharing what is binding by striking. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful week. Shalom Gadol. Much peace and happiness in your life. May we all say, Amen.
Amen.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Amen. Shalom.
Shalom.